Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats and we'll regroup here. I'm out of practice, Marco's saying. Okay. Hi, everyone. It's good to be back with you. I mean that very sincerely. It's good to be back. We are on vacation for a few weeks in Ontario. Chantel and I got away to a brief cruise to Bermuda, which was wonderful. And by the end of vacation, I was looking forward to my own bed in my own city, in my own house, with my coming back to worship with my people. So it's really good to be back. It's really good to see all of you. Thank you for the gift of time away. Thank you to the church. Thank you to the council as well for giving me that time. As you know, the council really stepped up and had a lot of work in the last few weeks, and we owe them a debt of gratitude for what they have done. I do, just for how they covered me, but we do as a congregation for how they've been leading us well as elders in the last few weeks. So thank you very much to the council. Thank you to the others who stepped up to help with other things too, even like cleaning up the parking lot for Ralph and Everett helps me with that. So stuff like that, I'm pulling together as a team, as a family. So thank you very much to all of you. Just a reminder that we're still taking that special offering for the Dream Center. You can give on Pushpay. You can give in the box right there if you mark it on an envelope and say Dream Center. The last day to give for that project is the 31st, so it's coming up fast. Also, a reminder that we are talking about baptism. We haven't set a date for one perhaps in August, but if you're still thinking about it or want to process it some more, please reach out. We would love to have those conversations with you, and we'll keep you in the loop once we set a date for that. Jody's got an update. Come on up.
Good morning, everyone. He'd already had put it on his list, but if you don't get the prayer emails, I just wanted to update you. First of all, I finished chemo 3.5 weeks ago, which was great to not be putting more toxins in my body. But more importantly, on Tuesday, God has heard your prayers, and I got the all clear. Zero cancer left in my body. And see, I cry no matter what the occasion is. Sad, happy, angry, I get tears. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you for standing in the gap for me, for praying. God heard. But not just that, not just standing in the gap in prayer, but standing with me, whether it was phone calls, meals, visits, putting on a t-shirt and ribbons and saying you support me, coming in here on a Sunday morning and knowing I was sitting with family and I was safe to be with my emotions, whatever they were for the day. It's meant a lot, and I'm really thankful. So now it's just the healing process. So I recognize there's still lots to be done, but at least I'm not in survival mode anymore. Now I get to start thriving again. So thank you very much.
Amen. Let's just pray and just thank the Lord for what he has done in Jody's life. Lord, thank you so, so much that cancer is in the rearview mirror. Thank you that you have intervened. Thank you that you have revealed yourself all along the way for Jody and the journey that she has been on. And thank you for the ways that you have shown how you work through your people as well. And in the many, many ways that Jody has shared about seeing God through a phone call, through a prayer time, through a hug, through a meal. Lord, thank you that you have been at work in Jody's life, and thank you so much that she is getting the all clear. And I pray that that is definitive for the remainder of her days, that cancer is always and only in the rear view mirror, and that you would bless her with renewal, with healing, and with abundant life that is spiritual and physical as well. I bless Jody, and I thank you for the ways you have been blessing her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for sharing, Jody. Thank you, Lord. Through the summer, one of the things that I wanted to do was just take some time periodically to pray for some other churches. one of the wonderful things about the song that Megan led us in, that creed, is that that's part of a creed that has been said down through the centuries across such a broad spectrum of the body of Christ. And it's one of those reminders that we are a big family. And a couple of weeks ago, there a church in town, Crossroads, appointed a new pastor. Jordan Kavanaugh has been the pastor in a whole variety of positions at that church for a very long time, but he was appointed as the next senior pastor, I believe, or sort of one of the top-level pastors there now. And I thought it would be good just to pray for him. You know, he's preached here at our church before, and Crossroads does wonderful work in our city. There are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and I thought, let's just pray blessings on some of the different churches and the leadership that serve our city and that we get to link arms with and say, hey, like, we're in this together, and we're the body together. So I just wanted to do that. So would you join me in prayer here? Lord, I bless our brothers and sisters at Crossroads. I thank you for the leadership that you have put in place, and I thank you for the work that you have been doing there and what you've been doing in Jordan's life and Julie's life as you have brought them to a place of a new level of leadership. And I pray that what comes with a new position would be a new level of anointing that comes from you for leadership, for teaching, for discernment, and above all, for hearing from you. May Jordan be a leader who grows, who already does, but who grows in hearing from you and leading your people accordingly. I bless their elders. I bless their other pastors. I bless that congregation, and I bless the work that you do through them in this city and beyond. Thank you for our brothers and sisters around the city at all the different churches, Lord. Thank you that you have one body and many parts. So I bless the other parts that are worshiping this morning together. I pray that you would make yourself known there in rich and abundant ways, and that the city would be different because you are present and active in the churches around this city. Would you have your way here now as we open your word? Would you give us understanding and insight? May we hear from you. May this be a time of interaction with you such that you have your way in our lives. Make us good servants. Make us people who love you well. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I left on vacation, I didn't leave until a Friday, and so I had the bulk of the week to get ready for returning. And so I spent time, as I always do, in prayer and listening and processing what I might be speaking on when I returned. And I had nailed it down to what I believed was a message from the Lord, and had a topic and a passage. I'd communicated that topic and that passage to Megan, who would be our worship leader this Sunday, just to let her know, this is where I think this is going. Sometimes these things do change, but this is my best understanding of where we're going to be at. We're going to be in Romans 12. And then I left on vacation. And the day that I left, everything started shifting with Hope Mission and its relationship with Unity Baptist. And council very wisely did not include me in any of that. And they made the right decision. I'm grateful that they did. I blessed them for it. It meant even more work for them. But they chose to leave me out of it. And so, in the meantime, you guys have been doing surveys and tours, and the council has been prayer and processing and communicating back and forth with Hope Mission, with the congregation. A lot just started happening, and I was completely out of the loop on it. Completely. I wasn't getting news, I wasn't getting updates, rightly so. I was just out of the loop. But I had this plan for what we would be speaking on this coming today. And then I had a dream. And it was just a few days ago, I had this dream that I was going to be preaching not from Romans 12, but from the book of Jonah. So I woke up and I read Jonah, but nothing stood out to me from the book of Jonah at all. And I have read Jonah probably more than any other book in the Bible. Of course, you grow up on it if you've been in Sunday school, because Sunday school always focuses on stories with animals, right? So it's Noah's Ark, it's Daniel in the Lion's Den, it's Jonah, right? And so that's, I grew up on this stuff, right? And I even took a whole course just on Jonah in seminary. I have read Jonah a lot and I love the book. But nothing new stuck out to me after I woke up from my dream and I read it. So I thought, well, maybe I'm speaking on Jonah, maybe I'm not, but I think I've still got this Romans 12 plan. But on the flight home, I downloaded my email so that I could start working through email on the flight home. And I started to find out, you guys have been doing surveys. Oh my goodness, you're doing building tours. You've been processing all this stuff with Hope Mission and how the relationship might be changing and what it might look like. And oh, wow, a lot's been happening. And then I read Jonah again, and it clicked. And suddenly I understood why I had to speak on Jonah. I saw that things might be shifting, in our potential future with Hope Mission and our potential future just as a congregation, both our relationship with Hope Mission and the location of where we might end up worshiping. And suddenly I saw the message from Jonah. Changing circumstances bring about a new plan from God. So we're going to read the book of Jonah, and I want you to look for the changes and look for how God adjusts accordingly. And I'm going to read the whole book, minus Jonah's prayer. I'm going to skip two. So I'm just going to stick to the narrative. I'm going to be reading from a different translation than I normally use. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. So if you happen to be finding, on Bible Gateway on your phone, just click on that particular translation if you want to follow along. This is the word of the Lord. Here we go. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, the opposite direction, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners, the sailors, were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give thought to us that we may not perish." Then the sailors said to one another, "Come, let's cast lots," it's like rolling dice, "that we may figure out on whose account this evil has come upon us." And so they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Then they said to him, Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? Of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous, means stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know that it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish. I'm going to skip his prayer. Down to verse 10. The Lord then, Jonah says essentially, amen. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. That's key. The message Jonah speaks is the message he heard from God. Cry out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey in breadth. So Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth, which is like a show of humility and repentance, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word then reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord, and he said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful. You are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Well, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth, which is a tent, for himself. And he sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be a shade over his head and save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. The Lord said, you pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? This is the word of the Lord. Let me ask you, just throw it out. Where do you see change happening in the book? Changes of plans. Are there any changes of plans in the book? Sorry? They were trying to row to land and God wouldn't let them, that's right. Yep. They had one plan, God had another. Where do God's plans change? He didn't destroy Nineveh, that's the big one, right? He'd said that he would. This is my plan, go announce my plan. Jonah faithfully does so, and God changes the plan. There's another change of plans, too. Someone else going to see them? Yep. That's right. You're absolutely right, Ben. And that's very interesting because there are changes of plans that God chooses to make in this book, and there are plans that he chooses not to change. And one of the plans that he chooses not to change is to let Jonah out of the mission he's given him. So God's going to get Jonah where he wants Jonah to be because that was God's plan and he was not changing. Interesting. What about the weather? It was clear sailing. God plans the weather, does he not? God gives the weather, does he not? God is in control of the weather, is he not? It's clear sailing till Jonah starts rebelling, and God changes the weather because Jonah changed his decision, or made his decision to rebel. God has a plan. Jonah makes a choice. God changes his plan. Sometimes God does this. When I was praying about just, okay, if I'm speaking on Jonah, like, what's the message? Here's what I believe I heard the Lord say, and it's very much related to Hope Mission and unity and potentially being at the Dream Center or not. And I felt like he said, don't tell them this is happening. Just lay a foundation for change. All I'm doing is laying a theological foundation here on how God incorporates changes of plans into his overall plans. That's it. Okay? So I'm not saying we're going to that building across the bridge, and I'm not saying we're staying here. That's beyond my authority right now. What I do want to do is make sure that we can see from Scripture that sometimes God gives us a plan, circumstances change, and God changes his plan in response to circumstances. That I can establish very, very clearly in Scripture. And we need to have that theologically in place for any changes we may or may not navigate in the coming days. That's all that I'm saying. Foundations for change. First one, God's character and commitment to his people do not change. When God changes his plans, he is then at pains to make sure that Jonah understands that his character hasn't changed. He says to Jonah, I'm doing this. I made this particular choice because I care about Nineveh. God's character does not change. So God is not someone who is arbitrary. God is not someone that you're not sure you're ever going to be able to rely on because he's shifty, because he can't be trusted. Not at all. God always makes decisions based on a character that does not change. Foundation for change number two. Sometimes God's plans change, including the plans he spoke out loud. He told, and that's why I highlighted that when we read chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah. No, it was earlier. I want to show you the exact verse. I remember emphasizing it when we were at it. 3, verse 2. Thank you. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. Jonah got the right message. He didn't miss it. He didn't mishear from the Lord. He delivered what God had told him to deliver to Nineveh. You got 40 days left. But when God then shifts the plan, Jonah's word that he just shared with 120,000 people on social media suddenly looks incorrect. Our prophet who heard accurately from the Lord and did what the Lord told him to do and gave the word the Lord gave him looks like a false prophet because Nineveh wasn't destroyed. Jonah's going to have to live with that. Sometimes God's plans do change, including the plans that he has spoken. So foundations for change. One, God's character and commitment to his people don't change. Two, God's plans do sometimes change. And sometimes they change rapidly. I'll leave that aside. God doesn't often give us like 6 months notice. You're going to be moving in 6 months or something like that. Sometimes God he works on his timetable. And that's okay. Jonah sort of saw that happen in real time. So sometimes God's plans do change. Number three, workers have to be flexible. God's workers. That's us. I don't know why it stuck with me, but this one time I was listening to a sermon by Bill Johnson, and he was talking about God, and he just said, you know what? God doesn't work for me. And that just, it stuck with me. I don't know why, but he's like, God doesn't work for me. I work for him. I answer to him. He doesn't answer to me. You know, God doesn't answer to Jonah. But what that means is that I and we, the people who work for him, need to care more about what he thinks and what he is up to and his heart and his intentions than our personal preferences, even if it makes Jonah look like a false prophet. That's hard. That's hard to say something publicly and then you just look wrong to everybody else while being faithful. That's the cost sometimes. But workers have to be humble and we have to be flexible. And the easiest way to be flexible with the adjustments in God's plans is if I only care about or care most about what he wants, not what I want. That I have to be willing to continually let my preferences go and choose what he wants more than what I want. We need to learn a flexibility. And you see in Jonah that the inflexible worker then gets corrected by God. And God corrects him very graciously, very gently. Has a lot of patience for Jonah. And I love that because I very much need it at times. But by the end of the book, God is waiting for Jonah to come around. The book never shows whether or not Jonah comes around, right? There's this question lingering of whether or not Jonah will be flexible, whether or not Jonah will be corrected, is going to be correctable by God. And Jonah, at the same time, the book ends with waiting to see how God and Nineveh are going to sort of work out down the road. Will his word end up coming true or something like that? But he's left waiting for more circumstances to unfold. And that's sort of where we are today, in a sense. We're still waiting for more circumstances to unfold. And the work to be done in the meantime, while things are outside of our control and we don't yet see how those circumstances are going to unfold, is to make sure that we know and have and love God's perspective more than how any circumstances might affect us. That's the job. So that whatever else happens, God's will, God's opinion, God's heart, God's desires matter more to us than anything else. Let me again bring this back to Hope Mission stuff. Though you could apply this, of course, to changing circumstances in your life. I know that there are people in our church family, right, who want to stay here at the Dream Center. I know there are people in our church family that can't wait to go to 139 Northey and partner with Hope Mission and be there. There are people in our church family who really do want to go to that building across the bridge, that's better than anything else. There are people in our church family that don't want any of these options and would prefer that we buy land and build something on our own. We have all of these different opinions in this small, eclectic family. There are people in our congregation who think that a church must own a building. That we're not really a full church without owning a building. And there are people in this same congregation that would prefer that we never own a building again. It reminds me of this family game that we've started playing recently, and everyone has to put in their bid for how many. It's like a trick-taking game, and you bid ahead of time how many tricks you're going to take. And sometimes when we all put our bids in, it's like, wow, everyone could potentially win. And then there are other times where it's like, wow, three of us are going to be really disappointed with the way that this hand works out. And that's just sort of the fun of that particular game. But this is, we might not all be able to have a win if we're really clinging to what we most want. But I think we can all win if we care most deeply about getting God's opinion and saying, here's how God's at work, and I only care about what he wants. That's how we can all win. And I think God has a lot of grace for people who are working through, but I really wanted. Because I see a whole lot of grace for God in the book of Jonah towards Jonah. Jonah had a really hard job and a raw deal. Right? And I know that everyone who, out of all the opinions that I just shared, all of the people who hold those opinions for really good reasons. Right? So let's extend grace to one another. I think God is extending grace to each of us as we try to process and work through potential changes of plan, changes of identity, changes of mission, that kind of thing. But do we want what God wants more than anything else? And if we're currently, just in addition to that point, if we're currently in a space where God might be saying and doing something and we're like Jonah and we're not yet on board with that, I think one of the things we take away from Jonah is that really good and godly people, people that God has spoken to, people that God has worked through, sometimes find themselves in a place where they're not yet on board with God. And so that's sort of a way of validating us, in a sense, if you're like still wrestling. It's not to poo-poo you as though you are a terrible human being that just can't get on board with God, right? I think God wants us, of course. That's why he's reaching out to Jonah, trying to share his heart with him and all that. But it's just another way of speaking grace to you, grace to myself. You know, as we sort of wrestle with potential changes and not necessarily always loving the potential for how that might play out for us. But again, if we can say, but not my will, but yours be done, Lord, I just want to care about what you want more than anything else, I think we'll have an easier time with that. Again, just to wrap up, I'm not saying anything's happening. I don't know. And I mean that really sincerely. I'm still not completely in the loop. I think some things have probably changed even within the last few days that I don't even yet know about. So I'm not weighing in on anything. All I want to do is just make sure that we have a biblical foundation for how God sometimes changes plans. And we have to become flexible and to work with him in that. So God doesn't change. Sometimes he changes plans. I need to be flexible, and it's easier to be flexible when I only want or most want what he wants. As I closed up my reading of Jonah, I was just jotting things down, and I want to be someone who hears God. Just Jonah heard God. I want to be someone who hears God, and I want to be someone who will obey God, even when it is against my best judgment, my preferences. Will I still obey God because I heard him? Not necessarily because I want to do it. I want to be someone like that. I want to be someone who will even speak what I hear from God when it isn't popular. And Jonah did not preach a popular message. And regardless of how it plays out, I want to be someone like that. I want to be someone who's willing to obey at a cost and even then appear as though I am false prophet. But God judged me faithful. Because God judged Jonah faithful, and everyone else would have said false prophet. I want to be that. I want to be someone who cares about what God wants, what God thinks, and what God cares about more than my own personal preferences. And I want to be someone who has a flexibility for change. And I will tell you, quite honestly, I am not a naturally flexible person. I'm not. I am not a spontaneous person. I'm a planner. Planning gives me safety and a sense of control. I don't like when things change. I don't like when things change quickly. It doesn't make me feel safe or secure. It makes me actually question a lot of things. And I mean, I'm not even just talking church stuff. I mean, like, I probably wouldn't actually respond this way, but if you called me up to say, hey, let's go out right now, my initial inclination would probably be, I don't want to, because I already have my afternoon lined up and my plans. Like, I'm not a naturally spontaneous, flexible person. So some of you just revel in spontaneity. Like, you feel trapped when everything's planned and you can see, you got your 5-year plan. Like, that's horrible to you. You want to live in the moment, and I need to learn from you, and you need to learn from me in other circumstances. But so when I say that we need to become people who are flexible, I'm not saying you need to be like me. I'm saying I need to be like this. But it would help. It will help us in our journey with God. And lastly, I want to be someone who can be corrected by God. Say, I got it wrong. Or I didn't respond properly, God, and I'm sorry. Would you pause now and just take a moment and just be with the Lord and listen? Is there something, Lord, that you now want to say to me from this time? Let's just take a minute to allow him to speak. Lord, I bless the love for you that each person in this room has right now, and I bless it and pray it increase for myself and for each one of us. I bless that love for you. I pray that our love for you would increase such that we just want whatever it is that you want. That our stories would truly be, you must increase, I must decrease. That would be like the storyline of my life, that would be the storyline of Unity Baptist life, that it wasn't about us. It's about whatever you want, Lord. Lord, would you make us people who willingly lay things down, trusting that you will be faithful to give and to give abundantly. You promise these things, Lord. So Lord, we're just looking to you to say, Lord, would you be our guide? Would you be the one that we love more than our particular sense of identity or control or where we think things should go, or even when we have said or spoken that this is the way it ought to be? But Lord, could we just offer all of that to you? Offer you our egos, offer you our preferences, offer you our loyalty. You're the God who gets our yes before you've even asked us what to do next. It's yes, Lord. And Lord, would you make us faithful with what you have entrusted to us? Would you grant each one of us new levels of wisdom and revelation? Would you guide us with a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit such that we can sense and recognize the movements that you are making, the ways that you are at work, and your heart behind your decisions. Forgive us when I've done this, when I got the word right, but the heart wrong, like Jonah did. And Lord, forgive us when we have clung to an old plan. May we not chase something new simply because it's novel and new. May we say we will be faithful to you in whatever process that you put us in. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the amazing just experience of having read your word so many times, and then circumstances change, and suddenly there's something new from those same passages for us. Thank you that you do that amazing thing. Thank you for the gift of your word and your spirit and how you bring amazing things out of it. all praise and glory to you, Lord. Thank you so much for your work among us. Thank you that you share yourself with us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be your blessing and strength this week. Amen. Have a great week, friends. Thanks for being here. We could use some help with the chairs. If anyone needs prayer, wants to chat, be happy to do that. Thanks for being here.